Good morning. This is the Morning Chef. It's me, Squid Billy, your boy. He is Michael, the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. P, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And this is the substitute teacher edition of the Morning Chef.
Wheel in the TV carts.
Yeah.
Turn on Balto.
There will be no overhead projector used today in the class.
Man.
We've got the TV strapped onto the cart. The moon is big. It's bright.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when he started, when Dylan started talking about overhead projectors, and I've got Dylan by 10 years. You've got him by 15, something like that.
Well, I don't know why. What are you using numbers for?
Anyhow, I was like, you know, Dylan probably doesn't remember the bulb overhead projectors. His was a camera. They were a downward camera when Dylan was in school.
Yeah, they had it was another cart.
He didn't need the bright light. It was just a straight-up camera.
Had both.
You know what I mean? Like he didn't have to find – his teachers didn't have to find the transparent paper to write on with the dry erase. It was just a straight-up camera.
Dylan, did you ever have any classes in trailers?
Yeah. Actually, it was either second or fourth grade. I think it was my fourth grade. My entire fourth grade year, we were in a trailer. I remember walking to it every day, man. Good days. Those were the good old days, man.
You know, I actually, unpopular opinion, I kind of liked
like
the classrooms and the trailers.
I did too.
I like being able to see outside during the day. Yeah, well, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I liked walking outside. I think I've told this story before when we were playing. Did y'all ever play what do you call it, tape ball or whatever, where you'd make the baseball, like wiffle ball, out of a tape.
Yes, dude.
And I was
using tape it was, duct tape, painter's tape, whatever.
I used like an umbrella to as the baseball bat, and
you had an umbrella to use. We rolled up a poster board. Come on.
Well,
man.
It was raining.
Like you were high class.
And I remember swinging it, and the umbrella came apart and went through the window of the trailer. My buddies told me not to talk. And when we met with the principal, because we were like, it was a drive-by rocker. And we said someone ran by and threw a rock into it. And they're like, where's the rock?
Drive-by rocker. Not a drive-by thrower. Drive-by rocker.
So, man. But yeah, dude, if you're driving in, I mean, the moon is huge. Before we get to what happened on Thursday Night Football last night, I had a panic situation this morning.
Uh-oh.
Like, panic. Full out panic coming in. I got on 575. And right about as I got to where the 75 Express Lane entrance is, or exit, whatever you want to call it, it says closed. And then it says I-75 southbound, all lanes blocked.
What?
And it says closed for temporary emergency road work is what it said. And I go, oh no! And so I start Google. I put on my GPS,
right?
And it says that I'm going to be at work normal time, and it says showing blue. And I'm like, well, how's this not reading this? What's going on? So then I got to right there where there's another one right past the Barrett exit, another entrance.
Okay.
And it says I-75 southbound emergency road work. Express lane.
Oh.
So I had
I got you.
I had read it wrong. I did not read the express lane part.
You just breezed right
at
on
the
by.
First
still
one.
Had the crusty eyes from getting out of bed.
And
you know what I mean?
I was freaking out, and then I got to there, and I was like, oh, not a big deal.
Yeah.
When I got to that one, I realized it was nothing, and my panic went away. But I was complete in a panic. Like, I was like, I'm going to be I can't be late today. It's a substitute teacher edition. We don't have TIFF. Like, what's going on? I was in full panic, and I was like, oh man, okay.
Oh,
so
man.
when reading road signs go bad, I guess, is, you know, when you misread a road sign, it can it wasn't good.
Yeah, not always good. All right, let's jump into Thursday Night Football. Let's talk about the Eagles and the Commanders last night. The Eagles dominant performance. Somehow the Eagles, dude. And I'm looking at their record last night. They're 8-2 now. They're a good football team. Hitting the ground running. Saquon Barkley is a runaway freight train. 26 carries, 146 yards. Jalen Hurts also doing his thing through the air. They looked dominant for the second half, man.
No.
I didn't think that they were even going to be able to do anything throughout the first half, and they dominate in the second half.
They looked dominant in the fourth quarter.
That's true, too.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
They They were dominant in the fourth quarter. They took it over. They were aided by some questionable decision making by my boy DQ. Well, I you know, but Saquon has been worth every dime that they are paying him. He and Derrick Henry, is it safe to say that he and Derrick Henry are the most impactful offensive additions outside of like a quarterback that we've seen in free agency this year?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And we've seen a little bit of a resurgence. You and I talked about this yesterday. We've seen a little bit of a resurgence of the veteran running back. Some of the guys that – and look, I mean, you can put like Austin Ekeler in that conversation, although he's a backup to Brian Robinson right now, you know, over in Washington. But you look around the league, like Tony Pollard, like there's guys that are like 30 years old that are making a lot of money. And I think it says a lot about their impact, man. And I think it'll continue to go down that road. Josh Jacobs is getting up there in age. He gets a new deal. There's a number of, you know, obviously running backs moving around the league, but you kind of compare that to wide receiver contracts in the NFL right now. Look at, is it Michael Pittman in Indianapolis just got signed to a big deal? It's like, dude, you could have had Derrick Henry for that price, and not that I don't love Michael Pittman, but what was that really worth to your franchise right now? Well, you know what I mean? And what was that really worth?
What's going on with Jonathan Taylor and them?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I think Derrick Henry's an outlier because I don't think it's fair to put Derrick Henry in the same as other free agent running backs because he's a freak. He is, you know, when you talk about Derrick Henry, he is this generation of players. And I know that the guy was still playing when he was in the league, but he's Adrian Peterson. So remember, Adrian Peterson, yeah. And what I mean by that is the fact that, you know, when Adrian Peterson came back from an ACL, it was less than a year. I think it was like 8 months
or
something.
Yeah, it was really quick. Really
and
quick.
He rushed for 2,000 yards next year.
It's nuts.
So
it's nuts. Just knees and elbows everywhere.
So you have to take him kind of out of the equation. And Saquon Barkley is really only in his sixth year in the league. And to me, Saquon Barkley is kind of that new age running back. Now, he's a guy that's been banged up, so maybe he hasn't had the wear down. But these guys are not used as – Saquon Barkley is not used as just a running back. He's more of the Alvin Kamara, the Bijan Robinson-type mold, where Derrick Henry is a lot more of that old-school running back.
Yeah, and I'll say this, man. I'm a huge Saquon fan. We already talked about his numbers. He was going off last night, specifically in the fourth quarter. But I will say, don't use him as a blitz pickup. You and I watched film this morning on the play-action pass. He steps in, and they try to use him as a blitz pickup. He gets ran over. Here's how the Eagles fans reacted last night. They wanted to send a thank-you message.
That feels amazing. It feels amazing. Last year, it was, you know, tough year for me mentally. We did a really good job of.
They love the Cowboys.
I'm going to let the.
How do you feel if you're a Giants fan watching this last night? Like, you're on the verge of benching your quarterback and firing your head coach, and Eagles fans are just down the road going, "Thank you, Giants!" And you see Saquon going off for 150. And let me be the first one to say, because I know Jerry Jones said this about Derrick Henry, Saquon is not doing this in New York this year. He's just not. He's just not.
I don't know. I think it's obtuse to say that with as good as they can be at times on defense in New York, to think that they couldn't be better with a little bit more ball control, to think that Daniel Jones wouldn't be better with Saquon Barkley, to think that Malik
Neighbors
they'd
all be better.
Wouldn't be better. Yeah. That I don't think every situation is the same, and I think it's a lot different because you got to look at what's happened in Dallas with injuries and everything. That's a different story than in New York. If I was a Giants fan, I would keep going back to hearing my GM say, "Yeah, I mean, at some point, a $40 million quarterback's got to be a $40 million quarterback."
Or how about their owner going, "I hope he doesn't go to the Eagles."
Yeah,
he's our most popular player. I hope he doesn't go to the Eagles.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like, was it Shane? Is it Sean? Is it Shane?
Shine, I think. Joe Shane. How you say it.
Or I can't remember if it was him or Daboll. It was like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, I can't have a $14 million quarterback being handed off to by a $40 million. I mean, a running back by a $40 million quarterback at some point. And it's like, well. That's what they're doing in Philadelphia, and they're winning.
Yeah, I think if you're going to win, man, you got to find ways to make it happen. Look, I'm watching right now that the Eagles offensive line. Just unbelievable, man. There's a couple inside zones. The most basic running play you can have, Saquon's not even touched. He's just running for 30 yards out.
I can't stop looking at this moon. This moon is like.
Is that what you keep staring at?
Look at it.
Isn't it, it's like a blood moon?
No, it's
a
just,
new moon.
I can
just
see
a
it too. It is mesmerizing.
Well, I have to.
Memorizing?
I'll have to hit the wife up.
Memorable.
Like, hey, make sure the kids see the moon this morning on their way to school.
Yeah, they need. Well, you need to. Yeah, dude, because it's bright.
Speaking of running backs and offensive lines, we come back. We're going to talk about this Falcons matchup with Denver coming up at 4:05 on Sunday. You don't ever expect sacks from the Falcons, but it's even worse than that coming up this weekend. We'll tell you why. Stay tuned. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike and Bo. It's hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We're going to get to the Falcons coming up in just a second. Their big matchup. Really a kind of a playoff indicator, if you will, coming up in Denver on Sunday at 4:05 Eastern time. Want to get to a lot of this college football conversation coming up in a little bit. Dave Archer joins us later in the show to talk about the matchup. I have to hit you with one thing before we get to the Falcons, though. You brought this up to me this morning. The Atlanta Hawks 24-25 City Edition uniform. The Lift As We Fly 2.0. How are we feeling about these, man? I kind of like the color scheme. It's a little bit of a retro design, if you will, going back to Day-Day's 20s. You know what I mean? A little retro, little retro design.
I don't know why you got to call people out.
Yeah, I knew you'd be upset by that because I said something to Day-Day.
you took a shot at Day-Day.
Yeah. Can I get a thumbs up or thumbs down from Dylan and Day-Day? What do you guys think about these?
I think they're solid.
You guys are way more fashion forward than us. There's no doubt about that.
What was that thumb doing? It was like in the middle.
He's in the middle. Yeah, he's on Fair Foul Friday. Daddy's fine.
Yeah,
he's fine.
They're okay.
Yeah, he's doing the old Coliseum thing when the gladiators are fighting. Ah!
Dylan,
down thumb.
Dylan, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but it's like when you see these days, if they're not when these City Editions or the City Connects, like in Major League Baseball. It's kind of like the way you feel when you see the NBA cup.
The
floors,
courts.
The courts.
Yeah.
If they're not hideous, you're like, hey, man, these aren't too bad.
Yeah, honestly, that's exactly how you feel. If they're not egregious, you're like, okay, that's not
bad. Let's not make your eyes bleed. You're like, oh, good for them.
Right. they didn't go over the top.
Yeah, what I like about these is I think they look like they could just be straight throwbacks.
Here's my next question. And this is not, I'm not judging anybody. I think of like most of the major sports in this town, a basketball jersey I'd probably be the least likely to wear.
You have
to wear a shirt underneath it, right? You have to wear the t-shirt underneath.
Well,
you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Well, unless you're Mark Zeno and want to go shoulders out all the time. I'm not going shoulders out.
Marky Mark would wear shirt.
I mean, of course, you know, well, he's from Boston.
I think it depends on your physique, honestly. Like,
it really
personally,
does.
Me.
Yeah, if you're doing lateral raises all the time with dumbbells.
I'm wearing like a loose t-shirt to hide my
the muffin top,
the love handles. But
I have a United jersey, love it. You know, obviously I'm not wearing a Falcons jersey most of the time just because that feels weird for me.
Honestly, the best time to wear a basketball jersey is when it gets cold and you can have a hoodie under it.
That's actually a good point.
Hoodie under it and then the basketball jersey over the top. That's the look.
I don't like that look.
You don't like that?
By the way, the hoodie you got on today is sick.
You got a Woodward hoodie on. The War Eagles.
Yep.
And I only am saying that because I'm reading it. Otherwise, I would never say that term. Just to let you guys know.
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
No, I don't know. You're weird today.
I totally got what he was.
Yeah, I don't know. Me and Dylan didn't, so he fell.
I'll take a shot at Day-Day. He's my guy.
I actually like that look. I'm not gonna lie. If one of these Fly City Edition uniforms with Morgan on the back showed up,
yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say.
I'd wear it with a hoodie.
I'd send that thing on over. Let's talk about this Falcons game against Denver coming up this weekend. Bo Nix has obviously changed the things that he's been able to do throughout the season, man. And look, the Falcons have changed too. I'm watching the game last night, the Eagles, and you see the Eagles 8-2 record, and you go, huh, yeah. How you feel about that too in that loss column? If you're Falcons fans right now watching last night and how good the Eagles were at the end of that game, they really turned it on towards the end. Now, the Falcons have gotten better in a lot of aspects, specifically being able to throw the ball. They're good at protecting the quarterback. Bijan went off last week in the rushing yards. The Eagles kicker struggled last night. I don't know if you noticed that. Missed extra point, couple missed field goals in the first half. It was ugly. And I kept thinking, can they win? Can they overcome? Right? Can you overcome a bad game by a kicker when you're the much better team? And in the end, Shout out to Dan Quinn for going for it on fourth and two and getting blown backwards, you know, for Jaden Daniels. But in the end, they were able to overcome it, something the Falcons weren't able to do last week. And I think that
it leaves
a lot of questions out there for me.
But it was just a different game. I mean, at no point, you know, the Saints came out and really, and I know that the Washington came out and scored early in last night's game, but in this game with the Saints, and obviously we're not going to stay long on this, but you were down by 10 points at one point in that game, multiple times, actually twice. And yeah. So the Eagles also were at home, and they never got down by too much. So, you know, it's too straight for Washington's loss. Dan Quinn could have kicked a field goal. And made it a 13-12 game. The game plays out differently when you go for a fourth down on your own 26-yard line and don't make it.
I don't understand. He could have kicked the field goal to take the lead. It's not like you're cutting it down to one possession.
Yeah, I don't. Sometimes you can get too aggressive. I think with Jaden Daniels and how good he is with his feet, you know, you don't expect the botched snap, which there was a little bit of a botched snap. And I think that was on Daniels. But anyways, look. That's their problem. They're now 6-4. The Falcons
see them a couple weeks.
Are 6-4 is no, they're 7-4, excuse me. And the Falcons are trying to get to 7-4.
Right.
And obviously it's it kind of keep pace in the division with the lead they have. It's not gonna be easy. You know, I texted someone yesterday, I was like, I don't think the injury report was long enough with all the guys that we have on this injury report, because you go through it. And who we're going to get and who we're going to get back and who we might not have. I would expect, first off, both your centers are on the injury report, but they were full participation. Ryan Neusel had a calf. Drew Dahman looks like he is going to actually come back and play this week. Thought it might happen last week.
But
looks like Lorenzo Carter should be back because he was a full participant, so I'd expect him to be activated. Cousins is good, and Algier and Drake, all full participants. All should play. The one that worries me is the Darnell Mooney being unlimited. I think he'll play. Troy Anderson unlimited. I think he'll play. Lindstrom, you know, will play. Grady and Zach Harrison both limited as well.
Both with the Achilles strains. Strange.
Yeah.
It's not something you usually see side by side on an injury report together.
No, and one could, I guess, be, well, there's three of them. Darnell Mooney got one too.
The Achilles
one,
I guess. Strange, dude.
Yeah, but what worries me is Charlie Warner. Did not practice concussion. I'm fearful he won't play. We'll know today, obviously, but I'm fearful. And then you look at Mike Hughes, who I think will be fine, but then maybe they're just holding him out. D. Alford worries me a lot.
I was going to say, am I wrong for thinking that the Mike Hughes injury would be less impactful than D. Alford?
I think it's your faith in Clark Phillips, but exactly. Remember, when Mike Hughes went out, he gave a big play to Marquez Valdes-Scantling,
right.
and Rod just said it was just poor coverage.
Well, and the bottom line is, when you look at those two guys both being injured, it's like Clark Phillips probably goes in for either one. But now you look, who's the guy right underneath him? Antonio Hamilton. I mean, they're all three of those guys on the DNP yesterday. That kind of all lends itself to saying you feel like you'll be extremely limited at that position. Natron Brooks, I know that he's been kicking it around a little bit up and down and activated and not activated and everything else. So we'll see how that all kind of plays out as far as the injury report goes. When we got in this morning, I wanted to take a look at Bo Nix and what he was able to do. All right, so I go back and look at his game log because I'm like, you know, he's really a guy that can hurt you with his legs, but how often does he do it? So I go look at his game log for this year. 35 yards in the opener, 25 in week two, 47 in week three. Then it goes down, not much. Then you jump up all of a sudden against the Chargers, 61 rushing yards. And against the New Orleans Saints, 10 carries, 75, dude. And I got to tell you, with everything we're talking about in the secondary and the injuries, I think we might see a larger amount than usual of zone coverage in this game, because I don't think they're going to be willing to turn their back and run away from Bo Nix in these situations. You know that's what Sean Payton's going to ask them to do. And it also sounds like, more so than normal, I know we're a big cover three team, more so than normal, you might not want to get in man coverage without some of these corners in this matchup. So I think that's something to watch as well.
Well, you know, running quarterbacks, when they see man coverage, they know in the back of their head, if I'm flush and I take off, there's going to be a spot in the field that's wide open. Sometimes, you know, depending, it's the middle of that field.
Right.
And sometimes it's one side. I think what hopefully And we have to remember, you when you're playing the run, you're setting the edge, right? That's kind of the whole thing. Oh, set the edge. But you do that in your pass rush as well. So you have to maintain your pass rush lanes.
Integrity, my friend.
Yes.
Lane integrity.
And what we mean by that is head coach. Don't crash inside. If you're the outside edge rusher, don't crash in, and unless you're running a twist or a stunt, obviously. But if you're just straight up rushing four, and it's just a regular old four-man rush, and there's no little intricacies to it, do not crash inside. Because when you crash inside or get pinned to the inside, that leaves the entire outside now to where Bo Nix can escape, not only make a play with his eyes and his arm, but a lot of time it's going to be with his legs. You have to maintain your pass rush integrity.
Well, and here's what I'll say. 10 carries for 75 against New Orleans. I'd say they were probably half and half scrambles and design runs. So it's something you're going to have to keep your eye on. I'll also say this. There were times when his throwing on the run, not very good. A couple overthrows, a couple underthrows, a couple out of bounds. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. All right, we got to go to break. We come back. We're going to talk a little bit of college football. It looks like the Georgia Bulldogs will be without a big piece this weekend. Will Tennessee be without one of their big pieces as well? We'll get you up to date. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Thanks for waking up with us here on the morning shift. It's Mike and Bo hanging out, man. About to get some college football here in just a second. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Got some college picks, some pro picks coming up at 8 o'clock. I have Dave Archer on at 8:20 to preview the Falcons and Broncos game that's going on this weekend. Our buddy Squidbilly will be in the house for that one. He'll get all the updated sod reports coming out of Denver. Got a new field out there. And we'll also get Dax McCarty from Atlanta United at 8:40 at the end of the show. Man, speaking of guests really quick, big day in this studio yesterday. Had Ed Bastian from Delta that was in with the Steakhouse, and then Ice Cube last night with the guys on Dukes and Bell, man. I was like looking at a picture of Mike Conte. I was like, what?
Have you ever met Ice Cube?
Love Ice Cube.
You ever met Ice Cube?
No, I have not. I'd love to.
I met him once.
Cool dude?
He's quiet.
Yeah, quiet?
Yeah, I mean.
I actually appreciate that. I appreciate the quietness.
He didn't talk a lot. I had to say that from the hip-hop world, I'd say hip-hop world is easy, you know, the safest way to put it or easiest way to put it. Like, from that era of guys, my favorite that I've ever met, and it was actually the most rewarding. It was Big Boy. Like, I met, and I'm a huge Outkast fan.
Are they in the same era? Big Boy and Ice Cube?
I mean, 90s rap, yeah. I mean, I know that Ice Cube started in the late 80s, but he was...
I feel like they're like 15, 20 years apart. I don't know. They don't seem like they're in the same era to me, but maybe so.
Well, you're a white guy from Pensacola, Florida. What the hell you know about rap?
Have you ever been to Pensacola? You might want to look up... Hey. You might want to go look up the game day special on Trent Richardson, right? They'll give you a little bit of my background.
That was more about you.
I don't know
Pensacola,
if you've ever been to Pensacola,
buddy.
But it's not exactly Chateau Alain down there. Okay, we have our own issues. All right?
But a lot of those guys when they come in, they're low key. They're just down there. Ludacris was kind of low key. Although I think we might have had him right after he had that big writer at UGA where he had all those things that he had. I think we asked him about that. He was on Dukes and Bell.
Yeah,
of Trojans. You can say Trojan. Not a bad
Gators
word.
Boys better be wearing jimmies. Speaking of jimmies, last night, we're going to get to college football in just a second. I got to ask you, though, the Mike Tyson slap on Jake Paul, did it do anything for you? Because I didn't like the slap. I don't even care about the slap. But the immediate reaction of Mike Tyson when he slaps and then ducks, like, did anybody else notice? Like, he goes straight into defense mode.
He was ready.
Slap and ducks, dude. Like, I saw 88, 89 Tyson come back. As soon as he slaps, boom, he's waiting for the counter. I was like, okay. Like, now, I would not go out and pay $50 on a pay-per-view for this, but the fact that if you just have Netflix you can flip it on, I'm probably going to catch a round or two of that tonight.
Well, the reason he slapped him is because Jake Paul stepped on his foot. That's why he slapped him.
I'm sure he had a good reason. I just, like, the funniest part to me was how he immediately ducks. Like, I loved it. I was like, yeah.
I didn't even peep that he stepped on his foot. I thought it was the way that Jake Paul walked up to the face-off.
When he walked and he does a little creep up, he steps on his foot, and Tyson slaps him and then goes back away from the mic.
Yeah,
he goes
say,
back.
That's not good.
He goes back for multiple reasons. For one, his foot's bent.
Dude. It was awesome.
Bye. I mean, so yeah. I mean, I was gonna watch it. The only thing is we got a buddy that was gonna have people over to watch it. He kind of bells. Now our other buddy in the neighborhood is gonna have people over, but the reality is it's a night before I travel.
Yeah.
So it's a fight that's gonna happen at maybe 11 at 11:30.
I was wondering about that one time they actually take.
I can't necessarily justify going and staying all night somewhere to watch it. I'm either gonna do one or two things: watch it at home, go over there, hang out, and then leave early, and then either finish it at home or go over there, leave early, and watch it the next morning, tomorrow morning, before I leave.
I want to get to two college football topics real quick. First of all, it's announced that ETN is officially out for the Georgia Bulldogs, and Nico Iamaleava trending towards playing. I know that he's kind of listed as questionable. Everything we've seen from Josh Heupel says it looks like, you know, he's feeling good. You know, he's doing a little bit more. Is ETN being out? I know, you know, he was kind of expected to be hurt. He's been questionable himself. I think we've talked a lot this week about Nate Frazier and his ups and downs this season and what he means to Georgia's football team. Georgia hasn't been very good running the ball. And that's one of the more shocking things about Kirby Smart's tenure, is somehow you've fallen off so big as far as being able to run the football, the offensive line not up to snuff right now under Stacey Searles. Do you have questions about Georgia's ability to move the ball in Tennessee's defense? And look, man, we're making picks coming up in a little over an hour. This line is stinky. Like, if you think that you're like, oh, man, Georgia's not very good, all of a sudden it's a 10-point spread. Like, 9.5 is the most recent I saw. Very, very smelly line. So I'm just curious to get your thoughts, ETN being out, how you feel about that one.
Well, I think he's clearly their best back. He's their most versatile running back. He's honestly, is he their most explosive player on offense?
I think you could make that argument for Nate Frazier. I just don't think Nate Frazier is as well-rounded at all and obviously doesn't have ball security and everything else.
Nate Frazier's got to stop putting the ball on the ground.
Nate Frazier is straight up a running back. Like, he's not, you know, you're not going to involve him in some of the other things you ask running backs to do.
You should be worried if Georgia can move the ball, because this is a really good Tennessee defense. But this is a really good Georgia defense as well.
Yes, it is.
And you don't know what Nico is going to come in there, and Gaston might be pressed into action. He might have to play Gaston more. And so you don't.
Frenchman, Gaston.
Yes. He looks French. He's got that French, like, jawline.
What do you mean he looks French? How does a guy look French? Is it like a unibrow thing going on? What do you mean?
No, he just has that. He's got the French look.
All right.
I don't know. Why are you asking me a question? Not everything needs to be. I can't explain everything to you, all right? I mean, I can't sit here and explain every little thing to you all day long.
Backup quarterbacks.
But so I would say this: I haven't even checked the over, but I would probably go with the under this weekend.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Showdown.
Even if it was like 35, I'd be like, take the under.
Hold, please. I'll be able to tell you in just a second. I want to pivot while I'm looking that up, though, and ask a little bit. The news comes out yesterday that Boston College quarterback Thomas Castellanos stepping away from the program.
He left.
Yeah.
He quit.
Well, that's what stepping away means.
He quit. Now, just say the word quit. He quit. He quit on his team because he got benched.
He pulled a Marcus Mariota, and he left town.
You called him a quitter.
He was like, yeah, I mean, he was. And to be fair, Thomas Castellanos quit. I'm just saying they both stepped away, which is quitting. How do we feel about this day and age? Like, and I think it's – because I think it's easy. You're old school. I'm obviously more old school and err on the side of these things. But I think we also have to look at it through the lens of what 2024 is. And I think we have to pay attention to what college football athletes are looking at. They've got agents in their ears. They got parents. Well, they've got all this other stuff. I'm having a hard time coming up with a reason why this would be okay.
Well, what do you want me to give you the – you know, we had this conversation Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever day it was earlier this week. You want me to give you this ridiculous PC answer?
Go ahead.
Well, he's just a kid and he's struggling with being benched, and he's just a kid and he's just trying to mature. Or the fact that,
well, the PC way of putting that is to say he has to worry about his mental health.
Or the reality of the situation.
Which don't get me wrong, I believe in that wholeheartedly.
I don't think it's a mental health thing. I think he just took his ball and went home. I don't think everything's about maturity. I think this is a business. His agent, his parents. It's all about the bottom line, and he's like, oh, I can't maximize my dollar here. I can leave the program, no longer risk injury, even in practice, just train, and now I can start setting myself up for the portal in December.
Yeah,
he quit his team,
and
this is the reality of the situation. This is why I'm not going to sit here and listen to people tell me why that these players should be treated like they're kids anymore, because they're not. They're not
adult decisions.
Yeah.
The over-under for that game, by the way, 47.5.
Yeah, that's
still the under.
I hate it altogether. I wouldn't touch it.
Hate it altogether. I wouldn't touch it. Either.
Dylan just told me in my ear, and I said that's blanked. I wouldn't touch it.
It is a homecoming on Sunday for one of the Atlanta Falcons' most important players. Why that homecoming is more important than you even realized before today. We'll talk about it coming up on the other side. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 7 o'clock here on the Morning Shift. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. Thanks for waking up with us. Thanks for putting us in the car on the ride into work or whatever else you got going on. Yeah, play that air guitar, man. I love it.
Hey, man. So I think of two things when I hear that. I think, hey, Chip, now coming to the plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Chipper Jones. And then also, I also think of the second dish, who did the song? Little John and somebody else.
I don't know, man. I'm from Pensacola. I guess I wouldn't know anything about rap.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Mean? Yeah,
you
since
wouldn't.
The guy from Dallas, Georgia thinks he knows more about, you know, rap than me. It's more, yeah.
I do. I think it's clear.
I think you just know more about music in general. I'll give you that.
Like,
I wasn't a big music guy growing up.
Did you just head in a sandbox all
no,
the time
growing
up? No,
I just played sports. I went outside.
You didn't know anything you don't know anything about movies. You don't know anything about music.
I would just sit outside and throw tennis balls off the wall, hand-eye coordination, lateral movement, dude.
That's what you did? So you were just out there doing pass blocking drills the whole time?
Well, no, I planned on being a first baseman, not an offensive lineman. But, you know, look, I tell people all the time, the best offensive line practice, taking ground balls, man, shuffling.
Well,
weight over the inside of your knees.
It's okay to admit that I'm just more well-rounded and more worldly than you are.
If that's what you want to tell yourself,
buddy. I mean,
I've
traveled the world more.
You go for it.
I mean,
is that what it is?
I'm more well-rounded.
Cancun. Hey, man, speaking of traveling the world, and we're going to get to the Falcons game in just a minute. I was hitting some reels yesterday. I thought about Tiffany. And this reel pops up. It's kind of gone viral. It's a girl saying she dropped Bumble. And she was going to start going to get coffee in the evening and heading over to Home Depot. And that was going to be her game plan moving forward for how to meet guys. And, like, she records this Instagram reel or TikTok or whatever it is, and she walks in with coffee, and she sees this dude, and she's just straight up like, I don't really have anything I need to buy. I'm just going to ask him and she walks up, and she's like, hey, I need to hang a picture. Can you help me hang a picture? And, like, she just straight up meets this guy. And then by the time they leave, they exchange phone numbers. And I was like, I'm so far removed from the singles game, but I would actually co-sign on this. Like, that's Home Depot would be such an underrated place. If you were a female, it'd be such an underrated place at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon to go meet dude. It'd be better than Publix. We had the Publix conversation on here a number of times. I was like, you know what? I'm going to drop this on Tiff. I'm going to be like, hey, man, you ever go to Home Depot? Because she's always kicking the tires on things like this. I think it's a good idea, man. Went viral. I was like, yeah, good for this chick. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
I think every time I go to Home Depot, it's dead. There's, like, nobody in there.
Well, I was going to say, I go, like, you know, 10 a.m. So.
And I think that's why.
That's where most of the service workers are.
That's when I go in there, it's just, like, there's, like, a couple people working there. Yeah. And a couple, like you said.
Stock and show.
There's, like, yeah. And there's
a forklift
all over
the place.
There's, like, a plumber walking through getting, like.
there's eight aisles closed off with the chains so the forklift can move through. Like, come on, man. I got to get in that aisle.
Do you ever get freaked out when they have those, and they have them at Sam's too, but they're like the robot machines. They have those duster things that clean the floor, and they're on auto.
Yeah, the Home Depot I go to, it's just a guy driving it. He's just walking behind it. Yeah, but they do it almost at 10 o'clock every time I go. So, yeah, I don't ever get freaked out, but I understand why some people would if it was a robot, for sure. I'm not big on robots just yet. I haven't grown accustomed to that.
Well, it's just not a robot. They just have it on auto.
Like, autopilot.
And
it's like a Roomba.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a giant ass Roomba that can run you over. I don't like them. I don't like the giant Roomba things that can run you over. They kind of freak me out.
All right, speaking of guys that can run you over, we went over the Falcons injury report a minute ago, and yesterday the did not participate included cornerback D. Alford, cornerback Mike Hughes, and cornerback Antonio Hamilton. I mentioned it's a homecoming for one Falcons player, and I'm talking about safety Justin Simmons. I know that he is beloved out in Denver. I'm sure that, you know, he will get, I'm assuming, what would be a good, you know, ovation when he takes the field or when he makes a tackle or whatever else. But I think these safeties play a more important part than we even realized coming to this game because of how thin you now are at corner, where you're probably either way going to get a healthy dose of Clark Phillips. And you move on down the depth chart at other guys that are going to have to step up in those situations. I'm thinking, you know, the Kevin Kings of the world.
Yeah, I think Kevin King's a big one, actually.
I think he'll be a big part of this, and, you know, you just keep going on from there. I don't know how you attack this because it's not like you want Justin Simmons matched up one-on-one with wide receivers, and that's not what you're going to do. You're going to have corners in there. But I think it's just in terms of communications. And we haven't honestly said Justin Simmons' name a ton this year. I know he's had some injury stuff. He's been in and out with Richie Grant a couple of times. But I think this might be the most important game for him. He's familiar with this team. He's familiar, obviously, with that organization. Communication on the back end will be key, and you want to keep Bo Nix under wraps. And I think he actually matches up well in open space, you know, given what Sean Payton might try to do. So I think when you say the name Justin Simmons this weekend, that's one of those players I'll be watching on Sunday.
Well, you got to kind of think, too, are they going to try to run the ball because they know that this is a run defense that's been ran on?
I would assume so.
When I mean run the ball, I don't even mean Bo Nix. I mean, you know, Aldrick Estime, and you got Javonte Williams, the guy that I thought would be a lot better in the NFL.
He struggles this year, man.
Yeah, and then they also have Jaleel McLaughlin. But so I would think that maybe you play him. You always have to remember when you're talking about this defense. I'm going to do my Brian Kelly where I'm. Yeah. Here we are again. But is that they play everything in front of them? That's the whole goal of this defense, is to play everything in front of them.
Yeah.
So nothing gets behind them, and then
we're sitting here again.
I know. Oh no, we're here again talking about the run. Sitting here again talking about being last in the league in sacks, but. They play everything in front of them, so I would like to see Justin play down in the box a little bit more if you think they're going to try to run with you, and also it would help you with Bo Nix. But when you talk about the coverage part for me, it's one of those situations where it's just like when Kirk Cousins gets sacked. Oh, see? There's Matthews again. There's Caleb McGarry again. And it's like that guy does his job for 40 times, like 39 times a game, and on the 40th drop back, he gets beat and you're up in arms, right? Yeah. And it's the same, but I've seen it. I feel like I've seen it one too many times this year with Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates, and then a cornerback, and it could be AJ or it could be Mike Hughes, and the three of them are looking at each other and they're discussing what went wrong because it was a miscommunication.
Yeah,
that against a team like this, against a team that's only averaging just a shade under 20 points a game. I can't have those miscommunications that allow them to go above their average, considering that their defense is only giving up, I think, 17 a game.
Yeah, it's something where I'm not worried about coverage as much as I am ability to tackle one-on-one. It's been one of the things that Mike Hughes and all these other guys have been known for this year. That's why you don't give up explosives. That's how your defense is going to attack Denver. Well, how is the offense going to attack Denver? Dave Archer sat down with Kirk Cousins. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta.
Now time to catch up with our quarterback here on Countdown to Kickoff, Kirk Cousins. And Kirk, it's kind of interesting, and I got to thinking about the schedule. I mean, obviously that they play 10 opponents that we're going to play, their divisional opponents, and then of course they're playing our division, we're playing their division. But I don't know, I looked at 10 games, they've got five common opponents. How much does that help you? Does that help you prepare?
Well, it's interesting, yeah. You have a little bit of familiarity of, okay, you know, we know that team, or we know what they would do. But you focus so much on the Denver defense, and the reality is that that's not only a new opponent this year, but it's really a new opponent because I didn't play them last year. They're in the AFC. It's been a few years since the Falcons have played them. So, it's a little bit of a newer opponent when you play an AFC team. So, you know, it's a good challenge for us. Have played Coach Joseph, the D coordinator, many times in this league, and he does a great job, and he's evolved. And so statistically, they're very highly ranked, and playing at their place, there's a lot of reasons to say we got to be at our absolute best to get this done.
Yeah, they look really good defensively. Certainly some of the categories and statistics would reflect that. When you look at them defensively, is there a style that kind of immediately jumps out at you as the way they want to play with?
Well, I think they rush hard. I think they play strong match coverage. I think their coverage is tight. And I just think they do a nice job executing, and they don't beat themselves, and they're going to make you earn it. They're going to prevent explosives the best they can, and that makes it all hard. And so for all those reasons, you know, we're going to have to be detailed and just very precise in our execution.
I know how detailed you are. At least I've begun to learn how detailed you are in what you do and your approach. When you look at what you do each and every week, are there things that you pick out each week, or are there things that are common each week that you're working on?
Yeah, I think a little bit of it is every Sunday coming away from the game saying, hey, what did I do well? What can we build on? What wasn't good enough? Win or loss? You know, what wasn't good enough? What are some fundamentals I can draw? I came away from the Sunday game against the Saints feeling like I can manipulate coverage a little better with my eyes, with my feet, try to move defenders a little more in zone coverage. And there's a balance there of holding on the ball too long, but just seeing that, hey, there's some opportunities there to maybe try to open up some windows. So that's something you work on. You try to transfer to the practice field and then take it to the game.
It's been fun to watch you meld minds with Zach and the way things have come together for you guys here in the first 10 weeks. How much do you, with a defense like this, it looks like they're pretty good statistically in a lot of categories. How much do you have to kind of mess with their minds a little bit in play calling and maybe change up what you guys do some?
It's a great question, Arch. You kind of always ask that as well of how much do we need to change? How much can we go back to the drawing board? How much do we, you know, have our identity, and you lean on your identity in tough times. And so it's always a balance as a team, as a coach, to say, you know, who are we? Let's lean on that. But then at the same time, let's throw a wrinkle. Let's try to innovate. Let's try to be creative and keep a defense guessing. So finding that balance is always tough for a coach and for players. But we're certainly in that part of the season now where people have a lot of tape on you, and you're trying to, you know, now build on that and add wrinkles.
Things change in ebb and flow in a game. Is there a key for you early on that you'd like to see get started without giving some game plan stuff away?
You know, I think always starting fast is important, which many times comes down to converting third downs. I think, you know, protecting the football always gives us a chance. You're going to stay in every game if you're protecting the football. And I think that was a big reason why we were close in the Saints game all game long was, you know, we didn't turn it over until that second to last drive. So I don't think you have to reinvent anything. I think you just understand the fundamentals that have always made good football teams win is the same fundamentals today. It's take care of the football. It's be great on third down. Try to control the line of scrimmage, be efficient, time of possession, all those things. And then when we get in the red zone, you know, don't kick field goals, score touchdowns. And so that'll be important.
There you go. Let's go get a win.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
Don't kick field goals, score touchdowns. Yeah, write that down in your game notes for this weekend. I think that'll be something a lot of Falcons fans focusing on, man, as we move into that matchup. 405 reminder that it'll be right here on 99 The Game. Squid will be up in the booth with Wes and Dave. Chopping it up, we'll have Dave Archer coming up here at 8:20 to talk about this matchup. Also a reminder, we'll have Dax McCarty at 8:40 from Atlanta United to talk about their impending matchup in the second round of the MLS playoffs. We'll have picks coming up at 8 o'clock. We got a lot of good stuff to get to, man. Coming up next, we'll get to NFL headlines. Saquon and those Eagles moved to 8-2 last night. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. Stick with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. We're going to go in the huddle in just a second. Talk about the big victory for the Eagles last night. The questionable call by Dan Quinn on the fourth down. We'll hear from Dan Quinn coming up in just a second on what his thought process was. Before we get there, I got two questions for you.
Well, I got two answers, maybe.
Is this comeback player of the year, Chris Sale? That he wins last night, is that his only postseason award that he's going to win?
If it is, we should riot.
We should riot.
Second peacefully, of all, peacefully.
It was announced last night at the All MLB Awards show, hosted by Roy Woods Jr., which I thought was a good pick. Are you in on the postseason awards show for Major League Baseball or the NFL or really anybody at this point? I know NASCAR does one, a couple of other leagues.
I don't watch award shows at all.
I don't either.
I don't watch anything.
It's just not intriguing to me.
I don't watch anything where people dress up and sit at a table or in an audience and act, you know, and are all, you know, the snooty people. I don't do all that crap.
The NBA used to do one, but then they went away from it.
Who did?
The NBA used to do one. They went away from it. Remember, they did it. They did them like towards when the playoffs first started, end of the season. Then they did the award show, and then the award show wasn't doing very well, so they went back to the way they used to do it.
I legitimately can say, even if I was invested in seeing one of these awards, I would rather turn it on like Yellowstone last night.
Maybe if I ever got invited to one, I would go.
You dress up. I've been to the ESPYs before.
But then I wouldn't watch it. Like, I wouldn't go home and, like, watch the TV copy to see if I was on camera. I just think they're boring.
You know what was the weirdest thing about going to the ESPYs is the seat fillers. So I was sitting next to Jason Witten. And I got up.
How big is Jason Witten in person? He looked like a pretty big dude.
He's not quite as tall as me. He's big size guy. He's probably Randy size. Yeah, him and Randy are about the same build. Okay. Yeah, him and Randy.
All right.
About the same, but which is not shocking. I think, look, when you talk about, you know, Pro Bowl tight ends, that's pretty close thing to look at. But when you get up and I go to the bathroom in the middle of the ESPYs and you come back and I'm like, where's my seat, dude? Like, what? Like, I'm like, God, like, I'm like, and my date who was there with me, I like text her. I'm like, where are you? I cannot find you right now. And I'm like, I'm looking for an empty seat. No, dude, they don't let empty seats fly. Like, it's seat fillers. You got to be like, hey, man, get out of my seat.
But you got,
I had to have my date put her hand up so I could see where I was sitting.
You should have been like, you're in my seat. Get out of my, like, be all intimidating, like, trying to be intimidating to the guy. I mean, I wouldn't, but you could. I mean,
you know what was funny? They were about to do, the award we were up for was 2009 Team of the Year. We were up against the Saints. They ended up winning, unfortunately. But before, like, when you're coming back from commercial break.
For me.
When they come back from commercial break, they, you know, one of the things they do is they put a camera on, you know, the people that are coming up soon. And so the camera comes to my aisle, and I was sitting next to, like, Mark Ingram and some of the other, you know, teammates I had that year. And Jason Witt looks at me and he goes, is that camera, are they pointing that at you? I was like, dude, I don't know. I'm sitting next to you. I don't think that's pointing at me. I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. But
you should have said, be cool, man. Yeah. That cool.
Just keep looking ahead. Like, my eyes were so big on the camera. I'm just looking towards the stage. I'm like, don't look at the camera.
I remember.
Just keep clapping.
Like,
happy to be here. Happy.
Did you clap?
Yeah, because everybody's clapping on the way back in.
Nah, man, you got to play it cool.
Anyway, let's go in the huddle. Well, these Eagles who moved to 8-2, and one of those two is your Atlanta Falcons, but they moved to 8-2 last night. They knock off the Commanders. It was a
won six straight
defensive slugfest last night throughout most of the game. Saquon goes for 146, two fourth quarter touchdowns. Eagles ended up stretching their lead, although we'll come back to the two-point conversion in just a second. I want to hear from Dan Quinn because yesterday in this game, all right, the Eagles are leading 12-10 in the fourth quarter. 12-10, right? 2 points. You're down by 2 points. Washington in range, I want to say the 28-yard line, something along those lines. Dan Quinn goes for it on 3rd-and-3, obviously, gets stuffed, comes back on 4th-and-2, and he's like, going for it again. I don't understand it. Dan Quinn, explain it to me.
Obviously, to go for it and 4th-and-2 at the 26, bold call, but I would also say we're prepared for that moment. Don't love the execution, but we've been an excellent 4th-down team. So going into it, we knew we'd have to take our shots against a tough division team on the road. We thought that was an appropriate one. Certainly don't like the execution and the result, but we were prepared for that and being bold into those moments, knowing we'd have some 4th-downs. But that's one we can fix.
Dan Quinn, I got one word for you. No.
Well, look, hold on. I got to defend my guy. You can sit here and complain now because the snap was botched. But if it's this one, it is.
That's part of football.
It's one of those deals where if they make it, if he doesn't botch that snap, because it literally that tick of time to secure it.
Mess up the play fake or the read or whatever.
Yeah, so. No, it's easy to sit here, but and the execution was it. But I mean, they make it; they might win this game, and everybody's saying, "Man, can you believe the Kahunas?"
If you kick the field goal, you might win the game. You want to talk about sitting here and second guessing? It's a field goal to go to the lead.
How about you don't give up 20 freaking points in the fourth quarter?
How about you take the lead when you can?
I mean,
you already have seen their kicker miss three field goals before.
They scored 26 points, dude. You scored 18. That 3 points.
When did all those points come? Those last 14 points you're talking about came after the momentum swung to Philadelphia because you missed the fourth down conversion when you could have taken the lead in the game.
There
is nothing you're going to say that lets me think they shouldn't have done that.
I would have kicked a field goal. But what if they miss the field goal?
Thank you.
What if the field goal misses? We saw a lot of missed field goals last night. Hell, we saw missed field goals in our game the other night.
They're all over the place.
I mean, kicking game in the NFL right now is...
It's bad.
I mean, I think even Justin Tucker's having an off year. You think they shrunk the field goal post? We didn't know it?
I know that DQ is your guy, and I respect that, and I like DQ, man. Look, DQ is the guy that gave me a phone call, and, hey, the Falcons are going to go in a different direction. I'm like, yeah, I'm not shocked by that, DQ. Thank you for letting me know.
See, you didn't have to do that. I wouldn't. I would have texted you.
Yeah, I don't know. I
would have been like.
Actually, but I didn't talk to him as a voicemail. So it was the same thing.
Well, it's because you wouldn't answer his call.
I didn't know his phone number. I was like, who is this calling me from this phone number?
You didn't try to call him back?
It was a 770. It's like his office phone.
You didn't try to call him back?
I did, but it wasn't until like a week later when I realized my voicemail box had been full. I think I still have that voicemail, anyways.
Can we play it on the air?
I gotta go look for it.
Can we play it on the air?
If I can find it, we definitely can. Hey, Mike, this is Dan Quinn. Just want to let you know. Look, man, we appreciate everything you've done here since you came in. And right now, it looks like we're going to move in a different direction. All right, cool, DQ. I'm not shocked by any of this news. I was already looking in a different direction, too, baby.
He didn't talk about your execution or anything?
Like at the end of February.
We didn't like your execution.
No, I was like, hey, man, make sure you don't go for it on fourth and two against Philly.
All right, you know what? Move on.
Well,
get over
well,
it.
Well, you're the one that keeps bringing it up.
You're clearly upset about something that happened in 2015.
Let's talk a little bit about this Chiefs-Bills game this weekend. I think that's the biggest showdown in the NFL. 8-2 Bills at home. They'll be favored by two. Favored by two against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that people are looking, well, it's the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are actually playing a much better brand of football now than they probably were when they were, you know, say 6-7-0. I think they're, you know, I think you look at them and go, man, they're playing good. Although they almost lost to who? Denver last week. So that's another thing to talk about.
Hold on a second. The Chiefs have almost lost a lot of games.
I know, that's
because
my point.
The NFL.
Yeah.
And this isn't college. So when you're writing for your little fan blog, realize that you're not going to blow everybody out. They're close games.
Yeah.
Bad teams
Come
can be
kickers.
Good teams in the NFL because the difference in bad teams and good teams in the NFL is a couple of coaching decisions and maybe some injuries.
Very small.
Thank you.
And I think it is going to be a slugfest between the Broncos and the Falcons. Where are you at on Chiefs and Bills?
I don't know. I was just looking at this game. We got to pick it later.
Oh, is this on the list for us to pick at 8
it's
o'clock?
On the list.
Sure.
Although,
is. Sure.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm boycotting your college pick.
Well, it'd be Georgia and Tennessee, right?
Wow. No, it's Missouri at South Carolina. And it's
Come on, it is
a sucker pick.
You didn't put Georgia and Tennessee on the picks of the week?
I thought we didn't want to do Georgia picks if we didn't have to.
No, we didn't want to do it every week.
We don't want to do Alabama.
We want to do big games.
Well, we can change it. I'm flexible. Well, I'm a nice guy.
Let me ask you a question.
That's what we're going to have to do at 8 o'clock.
Real quick. What's the biggest game in college football this weekend?
Georgia-Tennessee.
Okay. What's the biggest game in the NFL, not Falcons-wise?
Chiefs-Bills.
Okay, so why wouldn't we pick if we're picking big games?
Radio 101, my friend.
That's true.
Look, anyways, we could have done that, all that off the air, but instead we just decided to do that, and I apologize.
Man, speaking of doing it all off the air, and speaking of Dylon having his input, it's Bo's worst nightmare. Fair or Foul Friday is coming up on the other side.
I like Fair or Foul.
And mic'd up.
When you're a part of it.
And Dylan will be hosting.
Well, he's not gonna allow someone to cheat and then beat me because there's no winner in fair.
I'm just gonna tell you, if you have something in here about cannoli or some weird,
you're not asking a Hot Pocket question and a calzone question.
I know.
I feel like
we've talked you out of that. I'm just saying, if there's some other food related question where you disrespect something I love, I'm coming through the glass.
Maybe there will be.
I'm coming through the
glass. I actually like it when Dylan does fair or foul. The questions are so much better.
I will Spartan kick the glass between me, you, and I will come in there if you say one more thing about a Hot Pocket.
Do you think he just went right? He just went, didn't even hear that?
Yeah, I didn't.
I think he mentally blocked it out.
Yeah.
I said, I like it when Dylan does fair or foul. The questions are so much better.
Hey, man, that's coming up on the other side. Reminder, we got Dave Archer at 820, Dax McCarty at 840. Make sure you stick with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got mic'd up coming up here in a second, man.
Sometimes things happen off the air, Mike, that we will never mention on the air.
You don't want to tell people what I saw.
But Sometimes when I take a shot and I know you can't take one back, it just makes me so laugh so hard.
Yeah, you always love it when people can't punch back at you.
Hell yeah! I mean, you know, why not? No, I'm just, you know, that's not true. I like people, a good counter fight.
I want to remind people this hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. I'll be down at Buffalo's Cafe in Griffin, Georgia tomorrow from 5 to 7, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're down that way, come holler at me.
I would come if I wasn't
going to be in Denver.
I'll be on the flight.
Griffin's a little bit of a poke for me, but I'm excited to hang out, man.
I would also come too if I wasn't working. But
well, Dylan, where are you working at?
Doing PA for Emory that day. I got three games to do. Emory basketball.
That's a good way to cop.
Are you going
to
be working the day after the Saturday after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
What are you going to be working there?
Oh, the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
My bad. I thought you meant that Sunday. I was like, I'm going to be working Falcons.
Don't let him pull you into this.
But
you don't have to go with him.
I'll have an appearance you can come to.
I'm not sure if I'll be doing anything.
You'll be there. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, without further ado, let's hit Mike Dup. Here it is. Here it is. Don't be scared.
Fair Foul Friday.
Yeah.
A freaky Falcons.
That a boy.
Friday.
All right. Just stop. Just read.
I like it.
Just read the questions.
Don't hate
Dylan.
On him.
Just
okay.
Read the questions.
What do you got?
Speaking of freaky Falcons Friday, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons, shall we? You all talked about it before, earlier in the show. It's a homecoming for Justin Simmons, and you guys talked about how this is probably going to be one of the most important, if not the most important game for Justin Simmons in a Falcons uniform. So with all that being said, Justin Simmons picks off Bo Nix Sunday. Or foul?
All right, I'll go first since you didn't tell which one to start. Fun Justin Simmons fact that I learned on Dukes and Bell
Fun's
when he was
not
on there.
It's fair or foul.
He was roommates with Chris Lindstrom at Boston College.
Really?
When he was a senior and Chris was a freshman. They were, you can go back and listen to the interview, but they both were kind of the odd men's out for having a roommate because one's roommate left, the other, there was an odd number.
What
so they
cool
were roommates.
Story.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That is fun.
I didn't know that. He told more
that
about his
fun.
Relationship with Chris Lindstrom. Fair, baby. Because you know why? You know why it's fair? Because Justin Simmons has one interception this year. You know when it was?
When was that?
It was Week 3 against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was something about that game. Because that's he's the guy that intercepted more than anybody else.
Patrick Mahomes.
And so I think what I'm getting to is that Justin Simmons, he kind of when he feels something
cerebral,
it happens.
Yeah, cerebral.
And I think he's going to feel an interception this week. And I think it might be the one that finishes the game off.
I'm not going to say you are wrong, but just in terms of zigging when you zag, let me go and just say that I think AJ's going to be back in his bag this weekend, and I think maybe at interception number 3 for AJ Terrell. He's been playing good football of late. I think that he's going to be sort of next man up in terms of corners, because obviously you'll have guys all over the place that are playing out of position. I think they'll tinker this defense because they're so thin at corner. Maybe he drops back into that deep third. Maybe he steps in front of one. That's where
it's
I'm leaning.
Weird time to zig and when I zag, but okay.
It's better than just saying, yeah, fair.
We'll get back to the Falcons here in just a minute, but we will stick with football. Let's, instead of talking about what's going to transpire on Sunday, let's talk about what's going to transpire on Saturday with the Georgia Bulldogs in Athens taking on those Tennessee Volunteers. We know what's on the line for Georgia. You two have done a great job. Everybody on the station has done a great job of talking about what's at stake for Georgia. It's an elimination game, point blank, period. With that being said, Kirby Smart, we know that a lot of times this Georgia football team doesn't lose back-to-back games. I think the last time they lost back-to-back games, I believe 2016 in Kirby's first
year.
Great
point.
With all that being said, fair or foul, the Georgia Bulldogs play their most complete game this season.
Man, this one is tough.
I'll go first since you're all stumbling over there.
Okay.
Foul, I think their most complete game,
You were going to go Clemson.
Well, no, they haven't played a complete game. I was going to go Texas, but then I realized
that's the closest one, but they ain't complete.
But then I remembered that Carson Beck threw 3 picks. They really didn't look great offensively in that game. They kind of stumbled into some of those points with the turnovers. I still think it's foul because I think they need Travis Etienne on the field to play a complete game, and I don't think they have him. Even if they win, I don't think it's a complete game.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's fair because I don't know. You said most complete game of the season doesn't mean it's going to be just incredibly complete, right? I mean, it could still be the most complete game of the season and still not be great. I think they run the ball efficiently. we've mentioned a couple times, I think the Vegas line is stinky on this one. I don't know, you know, where Las Vegas is going on this. I think Georgia runs the ball just enough. I think Carson Beck is careful with the ball. And I think if Nico's back there playing, this defensive front's just good enough at Georgia to make him very uncomfortable. So I'll go fair. I think it's going to be a well-rounded win.
There you have it. I was watching a stream. I like to watch Twitch streamers. One of my favorite streamers, shout out to Queso. He was streaming, and he was reacting to, like, this would you rather, basically.
Hold on. Did you just shout out a guy named that calls himself Queso?
Start with a Q? Like, no, Queso, like the cheese?
No, it's literally, he spells it C-A-S-E-O-H.
Okay.
Queso.
Queso. Okay, yeah. Cool. So, keep going.
Anywho.
Queso.
He was... He was doing like a little would you rather, react to like a would you rather on TikTok, and it was pancakes or waffles. So fair foul. I was thinking about it, and this is a tough one for me. And I don't know if we've had this conversation before or this argument before. So I'm gonna go this route. Pancakes. A peak pancake is fair foul. A peak pancake is better than a peak waffle. So a pancake at its best is better than a waffle at its best.
That's a great way to word that question. I'm going to say that's absolutely foul. Last night, we took my son to Waffle House. He gets chocolate chips on his waffle, and it has a smiley face made out of whipped cream. That's peak waffle. All right, so I'm going. Yeah. That's the peak of any of them. Now you can go to IHOP all you want and get all that fruit and stuff. I don't mess with that. All right, you know what I mean?
IHOP got like a double chocolate chip pancake too.
Well, they got all of them. Underrated. They got all of them. I'm good though, man. Give me the waffle. Give me the waffle. Is the peak waffle is better than the peak pancake? There's no doubt. I'll say foul.
I'm a fan of both, as you said, but I like my waffles these days with just peanut butter in between the two
that's
of them.
Good too, yeah.
That's good. I like blueberry that. Waffles with peanut butter in between the two of them. But for this answer, because you said peak, and they don't call me Flapjack Squidbilly for nothing. Give
Nobody
me the pancakes, baby.
I was about to say,
Mike Bell does.
Who called you? Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's old. That's old Daytona 500 story all we did. But pancakes all day long, baby. I love. Give me a good pancake.
I don't even want to know what y'all did in Daytona, dude. We got time for one more.
I've never seen anyone have a bigger fried chicken order at KFC than Mike Bell that day. We spent $70 at a KFC drive-thru.
$70?
$70. Oh, man.
All right, let's end on the Falcons here because Raheem Morris has basically told us that we're going to see the debut of Brandon Dorlus, one of the rookies, defensive lineman we haven't seen quite yet. So, with that being said, we saw Ruka Rororo once he finally got in. You guys made the point of he had his hair on fire. He was ready for his opportunity that he finally got since he wasn't able to play right away. I'm wondering if we're going to get the same thing from Brandon Dorlus. So, here's the question. Fair or foul, Brandon Dorlus gets at least a tackle for loss on Sunday. He's going to be ready to go. He's going to be fired up. Brandon Dorlus, fair or foul, tackle for loss.
If you would have said sack, I'd have said foul.
I didn't want to go too far.
You can't go too far. I'm actually going to say it's still foul. I think if he was right, if I could say fair on that, he would have already been playing. I think he'll have serviceable minutes, maybe play a third of the snaps. I think you'll see him in there. I think he'll have fresh legs. A TFL, though, that's going to be tough to come by this weekend, man. I'm going to say foul on that one.
I'll go fair. We saw Rook do it in his first game. I think this is a team that doesn't run the ball very well. It makes me think that they're not very good up front at times in run blocking. I think there's a really good chance that maybe Grady or somebody or Onyemata creates a play where he's in with them, and he's the benefactor of that.
We need David Onyemata to start showing up in a bigger way.
I need to go back. We need to go back and watch, but I think Onyemata might be getting eaten some of those double teams, and maybe that's where some of his – because
I think that's just the easy thing to say when a D lineman's not showing up.
I thought he played pretty well in the second half of last week's game.
Okay.
I think he was one of the reasons why Alvin Kamara had 7 carries for 5 yards in the second half.
I think he's been pretty good. I don't think he's been last year good, so that's kind of what I mean.
I think you're right there.
Nice job, Dylon. Way to step up to the plate. That's your mic'd up right there. Coming up on the other side of the break, you will hear us break down more in depth this Georgia and Tennessee matchup, what the X factors are against the spread. We'll also give our picks, our wild card picks of the week, and we got a Life of Squid.
Mike Tyson gives the best answer I've ever heard about legacy, but I don't think he remember. I don't think he realized who he was talking to when he gave
it. He's going to die anyway. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And the Odyssey app. Yep, that's right. Welcome back to the Morning Shift. This is Life of Squid, and I am he, Squid Billy. I like that way that woman says my name, Squid Billy. Appreciate WSOF's New Realm Owl and Lager. Hey, don't forget the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic November 25th, which is
10 days
away.
Obviously, those trees. I hope they're ready for me. Those trees up at the Eagle Watch. I'm gonna take them things out.
Yeah. Well. So, okay.
Might as well be carrying an axe.
You'll be in the leaves then.
Things over.
You can still participate. Go to the 929 Game website. Click on the events page, and you can find all the information. Big shout out to Whataburger. We're gonna have breakfast by Whataburger. That is worth the price of admission itself.
I wonder if they're bringing breakfast on a bun, taquitos, on a honey butter chicken biscuit. I wonder what they'll go with. Maybe all of the above.
I don't know, Ben, but I can't wait for a Whataburger breakfast.
Starving already.
On November 25th at the Browngrass Charity Golf Classic at Eagle Watch. All right, so get out there. Look, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, we can talk about the slap, everything. That's all fine and dandy. Tyson's doing some of the media availability, and, you know, I appreciate when the young people are a part of
the extra youth,
the media stuff, the scrums at these fights and stuff. And they had a young lady,
like a young Simone in there. You know what I mean?
That I'd like to have been interested how Simone handled what Tyson did yesterday. It would have been interesting, but
she would have gassed him up.
But this girl, she's very young. I mean, maybe she's what, like 13, 14? I mean, what do you think, Dylan, in that picture?
Yeah, she was somewhere around
video.
There. Yeah.
And she asked Tyson about his legacy. And you know what? Just listen to the clip. I don't even know how to explain it.
No, I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die. And it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing. Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when you're dead? Why do you want somebody?
True.
You think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone? But my kids, maybe, or grandkids.
At the very end,
she's like 13.
I can't believe you cut it, because at the very end, she looks at me and she goes, well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yo, why did he do that, man? That dude's wild. There's nobody in the history of the world like Mike Tyson.
You know what? Can I say, we might get an old Tyson mindset in that ring. I don't think so. I'm not sold, because I've seen it. And I just know it won't happen. But that's the most 1989 Mike Tyson answer I have heard in a long time.
Well, and here's what I'll say. You saw Mike Tyson on the tail end of his boxing career. He would just get exhausted, and he'd be like, nah, I can't do this anymore. I hope that and I'm not sure that this fight's not rigged, so I'm just going to start there. He's too old to be in great shape. I hope he just goes in defense mode for like the first four rounds and then goes, you know what? I'm just going to go out with a flurry. I don't care what the contract says. I'm just going to knock this dude out.
But that's not – but see, that is – peak Mike Tyson is, it's over? Like, that quick. Like, yeah. Ding, ding.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Tyson is knocked out Peter McNeely, or Mike Tyson is knocked out Frank Bruno. I mean, it did.
You know, there's Vegas odds on this, too, because I just always thought it was like an exhibition. Nobody's really going to put money on it. Like, no, it's there's Vegas odds. I think Jake Paul's favored, like, minus 215.
How is he favored?
Because he's like, 27. I mean, dude, Mike Tyson, like the last few times he's fought, he just got in his corner and goes, nah, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. I just throw the towel in.
Now he fought Roy Jones.
Yeah, well, and Lord knows, that's the most geriatric boxing match.
Don't rig. There's no doubt that they were like, hey, let's get through this.
Yeah. Well, speaking of getting through this, we got to make our picks, Dylan. Hit that music. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. You know who else can probably start packing? And that's Josh Allen if he loses this game to the Chiefs, man. That's been the Achilles heel of Josh Allen's. Let's start there. Mandatory NFL pick. Bo, Chiefs at Bills. Bills are giving 2 at home over-under, and this one's 45.5. I will start. I think everybody and all the sharps and all the Vegas tell you to take the Chiefs, probably money line on this. They're going to get it done. I just don't believe it, man. I like Josh Allen. I've been saying it all year. One of my favorite teams in the league. I think that at home in this atmosphere, Josh Allen puts it all on the line, gets it done. Give me Buffalo minus the 2 points. What say you?
I can't gain ground on you if we pick the same way.
Well, that's why I went first.
I wholeheartedly believe that Buffalo wins this game. I think it's always special. It's special for Buffalo when Kansas City and them get together because they have crushed Buffalo's hopes and dreams numerous times. It's in what Orchard Park is what they call it, right?
Yep.
It's in Orchard Park. Dude, give me Josh Allen. Give me the Bills minus two. I think they win by field goal.
I'm right there with you. All right, Dylan tried to get us to pick Missouri at South Carolina. That's not going to happen because the game of the weekend is Tennessee against Georgia. Georgia favored by 9.5. Everything in me, because I think I'm not used to seeing UGA at this level. So everything in me tells me to take Tennessee. I just said, though, in fair foul, I think this will be one of Georgia's most complete games. We've seen what Georgia is when the lights come on and they're able to kind of put their foot down in these big matchups. Obviously not get it done a week ago. I think Georgia's defensive front goes out and wins this game much like they did against Texas. Nico is not the dual threat that you saw against Ole Miss last week. I think the defense tees off. It's a big spread at 9.5. But give me Georgia minus the points this weekend. Georgia gets it done against Tennessee in what is a college football playoff elimination game.
I will zig when you zag here. I do believe that Georgia wins this game. However,
that's a big spread.
Nothing that they've showed me on offense means that they're going to blow anyone out. Whether Gaston or Nico plays, it will not matter because that's how good Tennessee's defense is, and that's how inconsistent Georgia's offense is. I think this one is like old school SEC, like 17-16, 20-13 kind of game. But I think Tennessee covers.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad pick. And like I said, man, I had to talk myself out of it picking Tennessee. But I just think Georgia in the end, we've seen this story. What's going to make you the most mad, I think, was what I asked myself in some of these games. And I think that would probably be, if I picked against Georgia this weekend. All right, let's go to our wild card picks. Get to pick whatever you want to. I'll stick with the NFL right here. This is a tough slate to gamble on the NFL. Like, there's a lot of tough picks. And this is the time of the year where I feel like Vegas starts, hey, they're on to us. They start trying to make the lines a little bit funkier, so, kind of draw your bets out. How about this one? And I love the Ravens this year, but Kyle Hamilton probably going to miss this game. The Steelers and what their offense has been under Russell Wilson the last few weeks been very, very good. Steelers plus +3 against the Ravens. That Ravens secondary, especially without Kyle Hamilton, porous. It's like trying to patch a submarine with a stick of chewing gum back there right now. Give me Russell Wilson and the Steelers plus the 3 points against the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. That's my lock.
Well, I guess if I have to do my NFL lock now, I'm going to go Falcons are flying to Denver to play the Broncos, who have one of the better defenses in the league. Denver's offense is not phenomenal. They're hit or miss. Sean Payton is 3-0 against NFC South teams this year.
What are you about to do here?
Just listen to me.
What are you about to do?
Sean Payton is 3-0 against NFC South teams. All of those wins have been by double digits.
Woof.
The over-under is 44.5.
Okay.
Give me the under. 24-20, Falcons win, but give me the under.
Dude,
give me
the under. How bad do you want us to stress? I guess you can probably count on Falcons. You can count on the Falcons a bad pick.
I don't want the game to play out that way. Despise Sean Payton, right. And I'm not being held back today, so I can say whatever I want about Sean Payton. Yeah. I don't like him. He's a clown. I hope they blow the doors off. I hope Raheem Morris walks to this 50-yard line and says, "How you like me now?"
Yeah,
that's how bad we put it on him. However, this is a really good defense that Vance Joseph has, so I think that it's going to be a tight game, and I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
For my college pick, and I've done this before, and I'm going back to the well, I'm going down to Gainesville. All right, you
stop
got 22
it.
LSU.
Leave my team alone.
Matching up against the Florida Gators. LSU favored by 3.5 on the road in Gainesville. What does Vegas know that we don't? I don't know. But DJ Lagway looks like he might be playing. I think Florida's a different team, even with all the injuries they've had. Seems like they have an injury at every position group. But even with all the injuries they have, I think they're looking up under DJ Lagway. I think this is that game. You always knew that Florida was going to get somebody along the way. I think this is the one. Give me Florida plus the 3.5 in Gainesville this weekend.
LSU has struggled mightily against dual-threat quarterbacks.
Mightily.
And DJ Lagway is one that can mix in the run with a deep ball. See, I don't mind to pick. I hope you're right as much as I hope you're wrong, because I hope you go 1-3 this week, and I hope that's the one. Ohio State at Northwestern.
Ooh.
It's now listen to this. It's a 28.5 point spread. What do you think the over under is based on that? Without looking,
Northwestern. Let me 50.
43.5.
Oh, yuck.
Does that make any sense to you?
That's ugly, man.
Does that make any sense to you?
I don't mind that pick.
Does that make any sense to you?
No.
So I'm going the over.
Okay.
I'm going to take the over in this game. It's 43.5. Give me the over. And I don't know if you're going to take it to the bank or not.
I take the bank. I don't like it as much as I thought I was going to. I thought you were going to go.
With the spread?
Yeah.
No. It's well,
I could definitely see a 35-0 coming out here.
You could, but I could also see a 42-3.
Hey, we got to get in a break, man, because up on the other side, there ain't nobody that knows the Atlanta Falcons like Mr. Dave Archer, who will be sitting in the booth this weekend next to Squid Billy. God bless his soul. We'll talk to him on the other side of the break about this Falcons-Broncos matchup. Stitch with us here. It's the Morning Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 8:24. Thanks for waking up with us. Thanks for having us in the car with you on this beautiful Friday morning. Hopefully you're not sitting in traffic. We're watching helicopters fly by out the window here in Midtown. And that usually means you might be stuck out there.
Hopefully so Arch is sitting in traffic.
Hopefully Arch is not sitting
in traffic. Yeah, he deserves it. He didn't return my call yesterday. I called him and he didn't return it, so I hope he's sitting in traffic.
We're going to go to Falcons radio analyst, Mr. Dave Archer. Arch, I hope you're not in traffic, man. I hope all the good things are coming your way today. Happy Friday to you.
Yes. Well, so far, happy Friday to you guys, too, and I am not sitting in traffic. And I deemed Bo's call yesterday not important enough to return, so that's where we're at on that.
Well, stung him. Got him.
You know what? It was very important, and you're going to have to you're gonna pay a fine for that, Arch.
Arch, here's where I want to start with this. This was brought to my attention by somebody I was chatting with, another Falcons fan, and the question was posed to me, if the Falcons want to be taken seriously as a team that can not only win the division and make the playoffs, but a team that can make noise in the playoffs, this is one of the games they have to go get. How do you feel about that? And do you think that there is a roadmap for the Falcons to go out and dominate the Broncos?
Well, I think that certainly the first part of that, Mike, is I would agree that you have to go out and you got to go win some games in tough environments on the road. And certainly, you know, I was thinking this week about the conditions and things that this team has had to play in, and really, it's been pretty pristine. I don't know that we're going to get a ton of weather out there, but it's certainly going to be colder, and some guys react differently to that than others. But teams that want to go on and win a championship are not bothered by whatever the situation is, whether you have to travel a long way or whether you have to play in conditions. And I think this team is equipped offensively to do both. We've talked about their ability to run it and throw it, and so that should fit whatever situation potentially that Mother Nature could throw at you. I do think that they were bothered some by crowd noise last week, as much as you want to say that, you know, guys got in the wrong position or something like that. I thought that the edge players were able to get upfield some. You know how that is, Mike, playing that position and trying to look inside for the snap and a silent count, and yet still keep your eyes craned out to find a guy that's coming off the edge. And they've got two guys that could come off the edge here. So I'll be interested to see what the Denver crowd can do there as far as that goes. But I would agree with you that you have to go, if you want to be taken seriously, you have to go win these kind of games. I think they're more than capable of doing it. Now, can they dominate Denver, as you suggested or thought about? I don't know that they can dominate them. I think they're good. Denver's good enough defensively where they're going to keep the game in front of them. Now, as soon as I say that, you go back a couple weeks ago, and Baltimore blew them off the field in the second half because they got their ground game cranked up. So the blowout piece of it, we'll just take a one-point win and get the hell out of there. But I do agree with you that you need to go win this football game.
I don't know, Arch. We might need style points for the college football playoff committee.
Crack top 12.
So I was breaking down the tape for Mike earlier this week, Arch, on the Denver defense, and they show a lot of five-man fronts. What have you seen from them with what they are doing with that five-man front and how they're using that to get after the quarterback and stop the run game, which they've been very good at?
Yeah, teams – I've been – as much tape as we all watch and stuff like that, teams are pretty similar to one another in what they're trying to do. There's not a lot of – you know, we used to get all the different formations and or different styles and forms of offensive football. The same came – with the heads of the different defenses. Van Joseph's done a nice job with their defense, but they they are similar to what we do, you know, from an upfront standpoint. Now they're different in the back end a little bit, that they play maybe a little bit more man coverage than Atlanta does, but they want to play match coverage in the back end. So that it's a form of man coverage, but they're going to take guys that are in their territory or in their area. And yeah, they want to single you up front if they can and get 5-on-5 to come after you. Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito are good up front. The two edge guys that they play as their outside linebackers / edge rushers. And then Franklin Myers on the inside, DJ Jones, Dak Allen. They've got four guys that have 5+ sacks. So they're doing a good job of singling teams up front and getting 1-on-1 matchups. And those guys are winning those 1-on-1 matchups. That's what Atlanta's not doing defensively, is winning 1-on-1 matchups.
Hanging out with the Falcons radio analyst, Mr. Dave Archer, and talking about this game on Sunday coming up between the Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 4:05 Eastern time. Pre-game coverage starts with me and Goforth at 2:00. Arch, look, man, let's not sugarcoat anything. The DNPs at practice yesterday, there's a lot of cornerbacks on that list. D. Alford hamstring, Mike Hughes neck, Antonio Hamilton Sr. with the pec injury. What, you know, who do the Falcons turn to next? And you know, as far as the depth at that position, and what do you think that says about how Denver will try to attack this defense?
Well, I mean, again, as you get the attrition battle that happens on every National Football League team, the one that concerns me the most probably is D. Alford. D. with a hamstring. I know he was limited or did not practice. And so you hope that that's more of a maintenance thing than it is anything else. Because I thought, I don't know how you felt, but I thought we were dramatically different when D went out of the game. Who was it against either Tampa or New Orleans when D left the game early on in one of those games? We were completely, it was the Tampa game because that was the game that Mike Hughes went off in. Yeah, we ended up getting Antonio Hamilton singled on Mike Hughes a couple of times, and they made us pay. I think D's really settled into that position. Mike Hughes has done a nice job on the outside, but Clark has traded in and out with him. Now, I know Clark got beat deep last weekend, but he's a tiger. And he's a guy that's going to come up and hit you. He's a very similar size to Hughes, so you're not losing a lot from a size standpoint. But I think that the D. Alford one is one that concerns you, because I'm not sure you have a guy that can do what D does, because he's more of a corner size guy. He's not that bigger dude, but he's quick twitch and he can run. I think he understands what they're doing defensively. So that concerns you a little bit. Does that mean you play three safeties? Does that mean Richie Grant's more on the field and Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates are playing? Because they don't have a lot of place to turn. Kevin King will be a guy that'll play. But Antonio Hamilton, as you mentioned, is that guy that is kind of essentially that second or third nickelback to come in the game. So they're going to have to delve into maybe some of their practice squad a little bit as we look to game day.
Arch, when I was looking at Bo Nix's stuff, you know, obviously we've gotten to watch him a lot, but I was looking at kind of how his first 5-game split was to the second, because they're 10 games in. He's thrown for, 300 more yards in the last 5 games. His completion percentage is better. 7 touchdowns, 2 interception ratio. He's running the ball better. What have you seen in his progress from early in the season to now?
Well, I just think that he and Sean Payton are getting together better. They're melding better. I think he understands that the veteran coach is what he's trying to do with him. I think they're spending a lot of time in the meeting rooms together, maybe up in Sean's office, talking about, you know, what he's trying to call for him, what he's trying to accentuate, what Bo feels good about. So I think that's part of the ebb and flow of new coach, new quarterback scenarios, similar to what's going on here, even though we've got a veteran quarterback and a younger coordinator. They've got an older coordinator and a young quarterback. So it's a similar type meld between the two, mind-wise and what you feel comfortable with. I remember sitting down as a quarterback when I was a young guy playing and sitting down with my head coach, Dan Henning, and Dan would say, okay, what do you like on third down? And so you would go through that stuff. And most quarterbacks do that, but it's even more important for a younger quarterback to really feel like the coach wants to hear from you and that you have his ear and he's going to put things in that you feel comfortable with. I will say that, you know, the trends that you're talking about with Bo are interesting, because the trends that they're having from a scoring standpoint, they're struggling. They're scoreless in the first quarter in 7 of 10 games this year, including the last 3. They're also scoreless in the third quarter in 6 of 10 games, including the last three. So those trends are trending toward, yeah, the quarterback's playing a little better, but they're not putting any points on the board, which is interesting. Now, you better get them quickly because this defense settles in the second half. They're only giving up 7 points per game over their 10 games in the second half. So this is a team that you want to probably try to strike quickly on, and it looks like, based on some of the numbers, maybe their offense is giving the ball back to you, so you might have an opportunity for a couple more possessions in the first half.
Well, Arch, let's go out and get us a win on Sunday, man. Look, that's a long flight to be able to have to sit next to Bo on coming up. So, man, hopefully, prayers out to you for that.
Run. Well, the beauty of it is on these longer trips, they give us a bigger overhead space, so maybe we can get him in there with our bags and stuff like that.
Oh, man, safe travels, yeah, brother.
You laugh now, tough guy.
We'll catch up with you on Monday, man.
See you guys. Take care. Thanks.
That's Dave Archer, Falcons radio analyst. You'll hear the call from him and Wes Durham. Like I said, 4 o'clock, Bo will be sitting between the two of them with his arms up.
Only when the ball goes through the end zone on the kickoff. I miss that. They don't do that anymore where they take their arms and they extend it out. They don't really do that anymore. Yeah.
We got to get to break. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up next, man, Atlanta United fans. Come on, come all. Dax McCarty, the legend that is, joins us on the other side. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Morning Shift. Hopefully you're not out there stuck in traffic. It's a beautiful Friday morning. Thanks for letting us come on your ride with you in your car, or in your office, wherever you're at. Maybe you're just at home. Maybe you hit the snooze button. Maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app on your Alexa, man. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing out there. But appreciate you hanging out with us, and we're going to go straight to the phone lines and bring in another guy that I'm appreciative of hanging out with us and appreciative of everything he's done on the field for Atlanta United this year. That's Mr. Dax McCarty. Dax, man, appreciate you hanging out with us this morning.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, guys. Thanks.
Dax, what is it like to be not only Coach Beard's favorite MLS player, but also the guy who shut Messi down in the playoffs?
Whoa, yeah, now we're talking.
Well, to the first part, that that was pretty special. I have to admit, I know this is blasphemy right here, but I've only seen one episode of Ted Lasso. I need to finish it, and I need to watch the entire thing now because Coach Beard is apparently a fan, which is really cool. As for the second part, that was a team effort, man. That was all 11 guys, coaching staff, subs, everyone. And I'm just happy I had a small part to play in slowing down, not just, you know, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time, but also one of the best teams MLS has ever seen.
Dax, you've made no secret of it, man. I saw your post on Instagram saying, hey, this last home game ever a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, I was in the building for that one on the last-minute goal. Awesome, awesome atmosphere. But look, it's kind of crazy to kind of match up the fact that you're, you know, stepping away from soccer at a time when it seems like Atlanta United have had to win every single game for like the last 8 games in order to keep going. That has to be a weird dynamic for you. It's like I'm going to be done at some point, but yet we just keep winning. Talk about the kind of psyche that's been involved for you over this stretch of games, just knowing any one of them could be your last.
Yeah, it's been a mental roller coaster, guys. I've got to say, I've never experienced anything quite like it in my career, because when you're in this situation, when you're younger, you want to say that I'm going to play like it's my last game ever, but subconsciously, you know that you always have another year and another season to play better or to make it right or to correct a mistake. And so for me, I'm constantly battling with the feelings of, hey, you're playing with house money, man. You've got nothing to lose. You know, you've had a great career, and whatever happens, happens. But also, don't screw up, because if you do, if you make a mistake, if you make a boneheaded play that leads to a goal for the other team, you know, it could be the last play you ever make on a soccer field. So the roller coaster of emotions, it's been real. It's been profound. But I've got to say, as a guy who's played for 19 years and just generally enjoyed every minute of it, I'm enjoying this last month that we've had almost more than any of my career, because I do know that it's going to come to an end. But the fact that our team is playing so well at this time of the season, we're peaking at the right time of the season, it's made what has been a very frustrating year overall very, very much worth it.
Well, you know, the last, what, month? I mean, Rob Valentino took over in June, I believe, and you guys obviously still struggle a little bit, but you've been rolling the last month, like you said. What has he meant to this team, and what has changed with him at the helm?
Yeah, Rob is an emotional leader, and he's cut from the same cloth as me, which is what I love about him. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and the best thing I can say about Rob is something he has, something that I value very, very highly in people. And it's a trait that not many people have. And it's the trait of self-awareness. And if you have self-awareness and you know what your strengths are and you know what your weaknesses are, I feel like you can maximize any position you're in when you're in a leadership role. And so Rob knows what his strengths are. He knows what his weaknesses are. He calls on other people to help him with things that he might not be great at. But the truth is that his training sessions have been sharp. His tactics have been spot on the last month. And his leadership has been brilliant. That's something that this club has lacked a little bit in the last, you know, whatever it's been, a couple years since we've struggled to make the playoffs. And he's been a really, really nice breath of fresh air for everyone in the club.
Visiting with Atlanta United's Dax McCarty, man. They face off next Sunday, November 24th, against Orlando. At Orlando, you can hear the pregame here at 2:30 and kick at 3:30. Don't miss that. That'll have Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. I want to talk a little bit about Orlando. You guys have obviously had some success against them this year, faced off with them a couple of times. I think that this team, Dax, is a team that says, well, the regular season doesn't matter. You had to win the play-in game and everything else, but there's also some things you can probably take away from what you've seen from Orlando early this year. Talk about that matchup and you know, some of the difficulties you might face and some of the things you can take away from those earlier games.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think Orlando is a very good team, and they're very well coached. They have a coach who, in my opinion, is one of the best in the league. We have had some success against them in the regular season, and we need to draw on that. I think they're a team that, in a way that's similar to Miami, they like to have possession of the ball. They like to dictate the game, the tempo of the game, through possession, through moving teams side to side. They don't play that many long balls. They don't play that many passes over the top or in behind. And so, in a way, it'll be very similar to the Miami game when we defend. But when we attack, it'll be much different. Because Miami, what you get with them is you get their great attacking players in Messi and Suarez, who are super dangerous going forward. But when they have to defend, they don't put a ton of pressure on you when you have the ball in midfield or in your back line. Orlando's going to be very different. They're going to be at home. They're going to high press us basically the entire game. So it'll look a little bit different than the Miami game. We're going to have to be sharper when we build out of the back, especially when we're playing through midfield. We have to know that we're going to get pressed from all different angles. And so that's going to be a big key for us, a big focus for us, is not losing the ball in the middle of the field, not losing the ball in bad spots, because you know that Orlando can hurt you in transition. So that's going to be a big focus for us.
Well, look, I want this run to last as long as it can, obviously at the end with a trophy being hoisted.
Let's go.
All that said, I don't know when I'll get to talk to you again, if ever. So what's next for Dax? I mean, are you going to be in a
good
booth
question
somewhere talking about the game? Like, because you just broke it down amazingly.
Yeah.
Or because of what some of the leadership things that you and Rob Valentino have in common, are you going to be on the sideline somewhere?
You know, if any of you guys, which apologies for not knowing your personal histories too well, but if anyone here is married, you know as well as I do that, you know, your spouse usually runs the house, right?
We're well aware. Yes, sir. We are well aware.
Yeah. So my wife, she's been a trooper throughout my career. She's been with me from the beginning. And, you know, we've moved around a few times. And I promised her that when I retired, we would be able to get settled down wherever she wants, and we would have a home base, and I would just figure it out from there. So coaching doesn't tend to let you be settled, right? Coaching is a tough life. It's a great life, especially if you're a good coach and you have success. I think I would make a pretty good coach. I really love working with younger players. I love being the older veteran mentor who helps younger guys right now. But the coaching lifestyle for me, guys, it's a little bit too much, especially after playing as long as I have. So I definitely wanna explore more the media space. I really enjoy breaking plays down, breaking games down, talking about the game, you know as well as I do. I can talk about the game forever. You know, this segment is probably going on way too long anyways.
So, man, we're enjoying it, brother.
I definitely want to explore the media side of it. I have nothing set in stone yet. I wish I was like Tom Brady and already had a massive contract waiting for me on the other side. But right now, my focus is strictly on playing. I'm really enjoying this last little run that I have and that our team is having right now. So I'm going to focus on that.
Well, it's not Thanksgiving yet, and there's a Christmas trip in my house, so you know who rules mine.
Yes.
Oh, shout out to Miss McCarty, man. Hey, Dax, look, not only thank you for joining us, but best of luck next weekend. This city is so proud of you guys, man.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Dax McCarty, man. Vamos.
Wow.
Vamos ATL.
He's fun to talk to.
Yeah, man, that was awesome, man. I'm sitting here listening to him going, man, I hope he doesn't steal my job at some point.
That's well,
if that guy wants to enter the media space, I think he'll be just fine.
I think you and him maybe could do different things because I really hope that you're not going to be talking about trying to break down soccer.
Yeah, well, you know, the triangle offense and everything else. Hopefully he doesn't, you know, he doesn't know anything about mid-zone because that would be a detriment. Hey, man, we're going to come back with Stakey and Sandy in the building, figure out what they've got up. Man, they had big guests in here yesterday. We'll talk about that a little bit with him coming up on the other side. It's Mike and Bo with the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.